My cat apparently wants to start a podcast. This is the news, according to me. Good Thursday morning to you. It is August 18th, 7:42 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Getting a little bit of a late start. I wanted to start a little bit earlier this morning. I do realize that it's an incredible difference in listenership when I get up earlier and get this thing launched earlier, which makes me kind of wonder if I should start a live broadcast earlier. Like at this, if I was doing a live cast at this time, how that would go over. Probably would go over pretty well, actually, because my listenership seems to be more early morning risers, at least in this country, I'm assuming. Of course, in Australia, this is, you know, they're going to bed right now. They're easing into their evening. At least the people my age are. And I wonder if they apparently are the productive people in society, the people who have a positive attitude to do things, get things done, even in spite of their limitations. They still forge ahead, move forward, because they listen to this show. Or that's not because they listen to this show, but that's a byproduct. They listen to this show because of that. That's the kind of person they are. Anyway, I don't think that my show influences, maybe it does, I don't know. It might influence somebody here and there. Hopefully it does. But I can't be so arrogant to think that my show is changing the nation, course of the nation. It could, someone, think about Billy Graham. Someone had to lead Billy Graham to Christ. And who was it that did that? In God's economy, that person is credited for the effect that, for the ramifications, if you will, of everything that happened after that. It only takes one person. It can affect one person's life, and that one person can have a huge effect on someone else or thousands of other people. Maybe you inspired someone to become a neurophysicist or a doctor. I recently had a friend in high school that I didn't drink in high school. I wouldn't be friends with anybody who did. I was kind of self-righteous. But I had this whole thing of, you know, I wasn't going to be a drinking kid. One of my buddies, he made the decision he wasn't going to drink because he didn't want me to find out. And his friendship with me, he was afraid of what I might think of him if he did. And so he made that choice. He had been drinking, he had been doing some stuff, and he decided not to do that anymore. He told me this about 35 years later. He's a pastor now. And he's been an excellent pastor, and he's pastored some very large churches, had huge effects on some people's lives. And he has told me that was a turning point in his life.
What a surprise.
Just about the time you're thinking that your life isn't really, you know, mattering much in the world with 8 billion people in the world and how much of an effect am I having on this planet? And then somebody says something like that and it's like, maybe the way I'm living my life does affect other people in a good way. And maybe there's been other people that have been affected haven't told me. And same thing with you. That kind of positive motion moving forward has a tendency to do things we don't even realize are happening. So don't hold your head down if you think that your life isn't accomplishing much or that... I mean, it's always good to have some self-reflection and be able to understand, you know, are you doing what you can be doing? Are you able to? But don't beat yourself up if you're not up, living up to your standards or someone else's standards. Just live your best life, the best you can. Try to accomplish something every day. Move forward. Get out of that rut that you're in. It will have an effect on other people's lives. Get out, meet some people. Get out and, So, anyway, I digress. And I'm sure that what you really need to know, like what I do every morning is what I put something in my cup, and then that influences people tremendously, I'm sure, because I'm drinking. I'm back at my home studio again, which I found in a bit of disarray this morning, a little bit concerning, actually. I came in here to my booth, which is down in my basement, which is kind of the lair of my cat. My cat seems to think that the basement, now he's taking on this ownership thing of the basement area. It's his territory, at least in my part of the basement. My wife has an office in her side of the basement, and I've got an office on the other side, and it's... And we've got a couple of guest bedrooms. We've got a guest bedroom, and we've got like a theater room. I've got all this stuff. Anyway, so in this little corner over here, I've got this little booth set up with all my stuff. I come walking in here this morning. Of course, the cat following me and meowing and acting like, what are you doing in my room? And I find that my keyboard is on the floor. Keyboard on the floor. I've got I have these little foam things on the desk so that it doesn't bounce reflection back off the desk. So any kind of sound doesn't, it kind of deadens the sound in here. Plus the booth itself has these little sound panels all over the place. Well, a couple of those were, he apparently was trying to climb up the walls in here and he knocked a couple of those down. The biggest thing was I found that my recording button on the, I have a recorder in the mixer. I can actually, whenever I do voiceover work when I'm doing something, especially when I'm doing a phone call conversation type thing, I record the session to the recorder itself before it even goes into the DAW, before it even goes into the computer. It records it on a separate SD card inside my mixer. That way, if anything happens during the session, if for some reason my computer crashes or files get corrupted on the computer as I'm creating them in the DAW, digital audio workstation, I have a backup. It's like a fail safe kind of thing that goes on there. So, well, he apparently pushed that button and he's been doing a podcast for like the last 3 hours down here. So sometime in the middle of the night, he was chasing something around, either chasing something or he was just playing. And he likes to apparently mess with all the stuff up here and he thinks it's his. So he had messed around with some dials and switches and levers on here, and I started trying to record, and I was like, couldn't figure out why we couldn't get any sound, and there was buttons being pushed and sliders being slid. Thankfully, I have chai in my cup this morning with a little bit of Cinnabon creamer to soothe my nerves and to save the cat's life this morning. So the cat is locked out of the room right now. He can't come in. He was all upset. He knew what I was going to do. I picked him up. He wasn't too sure about where we were going, but he had some idea, some inclination. Put him down out in the hallway and shut the door. Of course, he wanted back in, but ain't going to happen. A lot of things happening in the news still. Let's get on to this. I don't have any notes. I never have notes. This is just all coming off the top of my head. Will Cain had Ned Ryan on his podcast the other day. Apparently, I think I saw part of the episode where Will Cain was filling in for Tucker. Speaking of filling in for Tucker, I guess we know Tulsi Gabbard filled in for Tucker recently. And I guess the left's heads exploded when she did that. She's more of a JFK Democrat. She's still a Democrat, folks. Don't be fooled by Tulsi Gabbard. She's trying to come across as a centrist and a flag-waving, patriotic, whatever you call it. Now, she is more of a statesman. However, she could just be a very cunning politician at this point. I would not trust anything with a D following its name. I just don't. I'm sorry. I can respect her more. I have a huge amount of respect for her. But I disagree with her on some fundamental policy issues. That's what I'm trying to say. I appreciate the fact that she's reasonable and can have a conversation without name calling and all the America hating garbage that goes on. But as far as policy, okay, people need health care. How are we going to take care of people who need health care? How should the government get involved in that? Let's have that discussion. Instead of government needs to pay for it, period. We have a right to health care. Yeah, you have a right to health care. You just don't have a right to making me pay for it. That's how it goes. That's what we need to figure out. Let's have that discussion instead of just yelling at someone and telling them, "Oh, you don't care about anybody at all. What? It's a ridiculous argument. It's not an argument. It's just a name-calling, divisive path that people go down. There was an interesting study recently. A guy did. Of course, the left won't care about this. About how did the division, how did the divisiveness and the polarization happen in this country? It's been going on for quite some time. It actually happened during the Bush administration, probably most accelerated during the Trump administration. It was ramping up during the Obama administration because of rhetoric from the left. The right-wing media, if you want to call it that, if you want to call Fox News right-wing media, whatever you want to call it, it's not. It's establishment media, but we'll call it right-wing media, has not really moved much to the right. Now, there's commentators that have been that are right, and they've always been right in terms of being on the right. Not necessarily that they're correct, but they're on the right. And there are the leftists who just continue to go more radically left. I mean, they're driving. And this is the way it always happens. I've always said this. What they do is they want, and the Republicans fall for this every time, all the time. You have the viewpoint from the Republican Party, and then you have the viewpoint from the Democrat Party. And the Democrats call for compromise. Well, we need to compromise. We need to meet in the middle. When the Republicans are in charge, they want to meet in the middle. Well, we need to show that we're going to be responsible. We're going to get something done. We need to compromise and get this bill done. No, the bill itself is the problem. It's not that you can't get it passed. It's that the bill itself is ridiculous. It's just more spending and more government control. But that doesn't matter. But so then they. I'll digress on that point. So we come back to this point of we need to compromise on this and get this bill passed. So they compromise to get the bill passed. Well, now that has become the new right-wing point. Okay, the Republicans are willing to move to the left this far. So the left moves to the left even further. Now we need to compromise in the middle again. Which way are we going here, folks? The Republicans need to dig their heels in this process, and stop the progression of the left. That's why they call themselves the Progressive Party. They inch away, nibble away, bit by bit, of our constitutional republic. That's just the way they do it. They divide people into groups, they become collectivists, and they can control them. This bill that was recently passed, in fact, is a major tool in the process of doing that. I wish I had more of a Well, I guess I do. I can talk for a whole hour today, but I really need to set this maybe tomorrow. I always say maybe tomorrow, and I never do. I to put together a show that it kind of explains it. Ronald Reagan made a comment about how the socialists, the communists, the collectivists, they're all the same. Whether you call them Marxists or communists or whatever, they're collectivists, and it's all comes from the same camp, the same philosophy. Whether it's a Marxist way of doing it or however they accomplish their collectivism. But the progressives, what they want is government control of industry. Now you can say, well, government doesn't control, we still have private industry. Not really. Not so much anymore. You see, these tax hikes, they want to tax the rich, right? They want to tax corporations. They want to tax businesses. Well, what they can do with that tax is control a business now. They can say, well, we'll give you tax breaks if you do this. When government starts getting involved in who gets to have electric cars and who doesn't, who gets the bigger tax break and who doesn't, maybe it was a separate bill that was signed, that actually gives tax breaks to people who buy electric cars made in Canada. They just have to be built in North America. Doesn't say anything about. Now, see, they don't like Tesla at all. So they're trying to compete with Ford they're giving Ford and Chevy. And of course, they always like it when people fall into the trap of taking government money. So that, like, I think it was GM got a big bailout. Ford refused the bailout money, I think it was, recently. And people started buying Fords. So they didn't fall into that whole government trap thing. Because that's just a way for them to control you. They like being the big shots that call the shots. Well, we're going to do this. We're going to have cars doing this. We're going to have cars doing that. We're going to force this on the American people because we've got to save the planet. That's just the way they are. They want to be the big shots to rule the world. See, power is a extremely powerful drug to some people. It's an addiction for these people. They love the power and influence almost as much as they love the money. I heard a report about Liz Cheney. When she went and took office just a few years ago, was it 2017? She came. I think it was 20. She got elected in 2016 or 2017. Sometime around there, she got elected in Wyoming. She was worth like $5 million. Now she's worth like $40 million. Gee, how did that happen? How does this happen? Well, we can get into that as well. But Reagan made this comment that, you know, government control is what they're after. It's private industry under the guise of government control. Taxation is a form of control. Regulations are a form of control. When you have regulatory agencies out the wazoo, there's over a million government jobs out there. I believe about 800,000 of those, if my statistics are correct, are agencies that are regulatory. So in the process of that, you have all these people. That's really a relatively small number of people when you think about it in terms of the 300 million people in the country, and get 800,000 people basically running everything, telling them what to do in terms of enforcement and regulation and all the other stuff that's going on, administrative stuff. But it's a huge number of people in regard to expense and the fact that they can control so much. They're going to hire 87,000 more, or 86,000, whatever it is, more IRS agents now. It's a ridiculous thing that's going on right now. And they're going to use this to control. Think about how much control they will have over businesses, over your life, with all the audits, the threats, the the common, now think about how ridiculous this is and how they actually, no, they're not just saying they're going to do it, they're doing it. I believe it's in California, they're laying off teachers. And the decision was made to lay off the white teachers first, regardless of your time in service or your seniority, anything else. The priority is to lay off the white teachers first, fire them first. Okay. That's not racism at all. No, that's not. Well, it can't be racism because you're not, you know, because you're black, apparently. It's only racism if it's against black people. You see how this works. This is no longer individual blind justice. This is just social justice. This is the epitome of social justice right here. So it's what they call this. It's no one's above the law, but some people are not privy to the law. And since your ancestors may have done something, we have to punish you now. Because you're racist. It gets that ridiculous. And here's the question. You know, we get so locked up in where we're at with all this stuff and what's being said right now. Imagine right now, 10 years from now, what they're going to be screaming about. Where this is, they have momentum in this movement right now. It's where it's going. And the corporate elites, those who are really the oligarchs that are in charge of the country, those who have the money behind all this stuff, like the Dorseys and the, well, he's not in charge of Twitter anymore, but like Elon Musk, if they don't like him at all. He talks about buying Twitter and all of a sudden he's a right-wing Trump supporter. He's a racist. He's against free speech. He wants to open it up so nobody's canceled anymore. And he's the fascist. All of a sudden he's the enemy. Because misinformation. You know, it's becoming more and more obvious, especially if you start, just all you have to do is go through YouTube and just look at some of the headlines on MSNBC and realize that they are really, they don't even hide it anymore. They are just the left wing of the left wing. They are the arm, the media arm of the left wing party. That's what they are. Now, Fox is more of a establishment, right wing establishment organization. They do try to be a little bit more fair and balanced in their broadcasting. I know some people won't like that, to hear that. If your head popped off when I said that, you're a leftist. You don't have any objective opinion in your head at all, because it's, you cannot look objectively at Fox News and state that they are just a right-wing, radical, racist news organization. You can't do that. Now, if you have objectivity and you look at MSNBC or CNN, the bias is very clear. And I'm not talking about the commentators, even though what's amazing to me is that the commentators on Fox will say, I am a Republican, or I am a independent, or someone will say they're conservatives. I'm a registered conservative. Or that they're libertarian. They'll state what they are. If they're a commentator, they'll usually state what they are. This is my opinion. This is where I'm at. On the left, people like Brian Stelter. Oh, no, I'm not bring my politics into I just talk about the truth, and it's just all about proper information.
Or, as he would say like this, I'm just Mark.
This is the kind of stuff. This is where they have no self-awareness whatsoever. And if they do, they're just flat out lying to you. Speaking of lying, Liz Cheney is continuing to say, well,
everyone believes the big lie. He still perpetuates the big lie. If I didn't go along with the big lie that Trump stole the election. Okay,
I heard this yesterday as I was driving down the car. So I started yelling at her.
from my car. I don't think she could hear me because I'm probably in a different state. But I rolled my window down and started yelling at just in case she was standing on the corner. So if you see somebody driving by yelling out their window, it's probably me. I say, hey, how's it going? News according to me. So the here's the way this conversation would go. If Liz would have been in my face right at that moment, I would have said, really, how do you know that the election wasn't stolen? Well, there's no evidence that the election wasn't stolen. Oh, do you believe there's life on other planets? She'd probably say yes. And it doesn't matter how she answers. She could say yes or she could say no. I could say, if she said yes, I believe there's life on other planets. I would say, you're a liar. There's no evidence. There's no evidence to support that at all. So you're lying. That's the big lie. You're the monster. You're the devil. You're the racist. You're the Hitler. Whatever you want to call her. You're the insurrectionist. You're trying to subvert science. There's no evidence that there's life on other planets. Or the other way, if she said that there isn't any life, I could say, there's no evidence that there's no life on other planets. You're lying. You don't know. And the point is, that's the point. You don't know. And neither do I. We have a disagreement. That's what that's called. I could take either side of that argument and just disagree and call her a liar, which is exactly what she's doing. She's claiming that the election was pristine and nothing was wrong with it. Well, here's the little fact for you, Liz. If you took all of the illegal votes from this last, all the votes that happened because of illegal actions by the attorneys general, in each of those states, if you took the illegal actions of all those and knocked those votes out of the race because they were illegally calculated or illegally collected, Trump wins. So tell me, was the election stolen because of illegal action? Illegal acts committed by bureaucrats swayed the outcome of the election. All right, now you're telling me that wasn't a stolen election? That was a legitimate election? I could argue that it's not. You could argue that it is. We could argue all day long, but that doesn't make either one of us a liar. That just means we have a disagreement. But she has this definition of a lie, which is Donald Trump believing that the election was stolen, that he actually won the election. That's not a lie. That's what he believes. And you cannot prove otherwise. In fact, if you've watched 2,000 Mules, which I have not yet, if you've just done the plain simple math on this issue and how ridiculous the media has been ever since. Well, you can't question the results of this election. It was the best election. It was the most secure election we've ever had in the history of mankind. There's never been a more secure election. But now the next election is, of course, this is going to be, it's going to be it. Because our democracy is at stake. It's the most important election we've ever had, and our democracy is hanging in the balance. If the Democrat Party loses, we've lost our democracy. That's what they think. These are the things that are coming out of their mouth. So Liz perpetuates this idea that Trump, you know, keeps telling the lie. She's going to be the one with all the moral fortitude, and she's going to stand up and she's going to pretend like she's taking the high ground, which makes her qualify for president in 2024. Yeah, good luck. Maybe you and Pence can run together. That'd be great. That'd be a fun one, wouldn't it? I want you to get up there on the stage in the primary against Donald Trump and see how that goes. I don't know. I don't know if Donald's going to run or not. When he announces, of course, everybody's head's going to explode. No, I believe we might be hearing something at any minute now, because I'm sure that after the, I thought that maybe after the primary he would announce. However, I think he's going to wait until after the midterms. I think it's going to be after the midterm election in November. Sometime in late November, he probably will announce one way or the other. Now, 8 out of 10 of his endorsements that were very controversial have pulled through in the primaries. And I believe that if those, a certain percentage of those 8 win in the general, he will actually announce at that point. I think that's where he's going to see, as long as he's got the support behind him. And of course, they're going to pick up more support in the Senate probably in 2024 as well, for sure. If they don't get the Senate this time, it's going to be the next time around, because there's more seats up for grabs at that point. Now, all this being said, the weakness of the party on the left is unbelievable. And yet there's people who, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. When things started ramping up in the opposition, it's back around 2008, even during when the Tea Party thing happened. Tea Party started off as a grassroots movement. It was adopted by the Republican establishment. They saw the wave coming, and they were like, "Well, we better get on this," and they kind of took it over. That's what happened in our area here, at least in this part of Indiana. There was a Tea Party meeting at the county courthouse. It was run by the establishment Republicans. I don't know that they were establishment. The one of them was more of an establishment Republican. And these are old folks, church folks, standing around on the lawn saying tax, you know, with the signs, "Taxed enough already," because of Obama's tax increases that he was proposing. I got emails from people surprised that I was there. "I'm just surprised at the kind of people that I just didn't realize you would be hanging out with those kinds of people." I couldn't figure out what they were talking about. What are you talking about? These kinds of people, they're just tax protesters. They're what's going on? Why are you? I was really puzzled in my mind as to why they would wonder about what kind of people what these people look like. Well, then I found out about 4 or 5 months later that the rhetoric from the left had so infiltrated people's minds. This person was from California, by the way. Mostly people were from, you know, one side of this country or the other. They weren't in flyover country. The rhetoric at that time from CNN and MSNBC, which had more credibility back then, not much, but some, was that the Tea Party movement was a racist white supremacist movement. Had nothing to do with taxes. Well, this was news to me. I had no idea I was a part of a white supremacist movement under the guise of tax protesting. I didn't realize that. Because none of the signs, nobody said anything about anybody being a particular race or not. They were just tired of taxes. They were tired of the tax burden. Everybody was talking about taxes. There was nothing mentioned about race in any of the meetings I went to. Any of the gatherings that I heard, any of the speakers I heard speak, then nothing was about race. But apparently it was a racist movement, according to people who were telling us what we're supposed to think about this. And that was why this person was so amazed at the kind of people who would be there. Because they were believing that. Now, that was the lie. That was believing a lie. Because it was on its face, it was untrue. They just made this up. They create things out of whole cloth. Not sure what that even means. And the left, it's lying is just a part of who they are. That's just a part of their strategy. They can justify any kind of lie. Now, that doesn't mean that people on the right don't lie. It doesn't mean that there's establishment folks that don't lie, or even conservatives that don't lie. What I'm saying is that the left operates in that mode incredulously. They from beginning to end, they will tell a lie. Again, it comes back to the whole thing of the end justifies the means. That's all they care about. If the lie gets their purpose across, if Harry Reid can come out and say, word on the street has it that Mitt Romney hasn't paid his taxes in the last 10 years. That was a lie. But when Harry Reid was asked about that, Harry Reid, head of the Senate, when Harry was asked about that, he said, well, he didn't win, did he? Fellow Mormons. Harry Reid was a Mormon. Mitt Romney was a Mormon. But politics rose above their belief in their God. Which, by the way, is not the Christian God. Just to be clear about that. I don't mean to upset my Mormon friends, but you're wrong. Sorry. The Mormon God, by the way, is not the... See what they ask him questions about what they know about Messiah. They're not too clear on that. I'm not going to go down that road. That's the way the left operates. They can like a fish through water. They can just, lie this and lie that and swim one way and swing the other way. It's just they don't care. Whatever the political expediency is of the day, of the moment. That's where they operate. And the news media that is in the tank for the leftists is right on board with this stuff. And like I said, they don't care about what happens with the country. All they care about is what happens within their little world, in their little part of the country. This is very obvious when it came to security of the Capitol building after January 6th happened. They built a wall around the place. But we couldn't have a wall at the border, or we're being overrun. Well, because those are just people that are just... Well, what if I want to walk into the Capitol building and just enrich my life? I want asylum from the country. Like, I'm not doing as well out here. I want to do better in here. I can do better on that side of the wall. I want to be on that side. I want to live in the Capitol building. Oh, you can't do that. Well, why not? You're letting people in the border down here. Just let them come in. It doesn't matter. What's interesting to me is the way that some of the southern states are dealing with this. They're busing people now to New York and Washington. A couple hundred people show up and they're overwhelmed. We need help. We don't know what to do with these people. This is outrageous. Our system can't handle this. Oh, but they're supposed to be able to handle it at the border. Texas and Arizona are supposed to be able to handle all these people coming across the border, and they're just supposed to absorb all these people while you ship them off to Midtown America. But of course, Washington D.C. can't handle it. New York City can't handle it. All of a sudden, it becomes a personal issue to them. That's just the ridiculous hypocrisy that we see all the time. Now, it is Thursday, and I'm seriously considering having a show late this evening. I don't know how this is going to work out. In any regard, I will have a show early tomorrow morning. I'm not sure how that's going to work out because I don't think my wife is working tomorrow. That always gets interesting. I'm usually find it easier to get up early in the morning when she's not working, unless I get up before her. The problem is if she goes to work at 7 or 8, her alarm goes off at 4 and 4:10, 4:20, 4:30, 4:45, 5 o'clock. And several alarms start going off about 6 o'clock. So I'm not for sure when she's actually going to get up. So that's the issue that so tomorrow morning, I'll probably just, whenever I wake up, which sometimes is 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I'll just get up. And I've noticed that my listenership is actually extremely much better if I release the show early in the morning. And if the show is shorter, so I'm going to try to keep this show a little bit shorter today. Rather than going an hour, I'm just going to go until now. We're just going to call it the show. This is the show. Leave you wanting more. I appreciate listening to my rants this morning. This show has turned into more of my, Kevin's rant in the morning. Kevin's morning rant. But I hope you appreciate the fact that I scour the internet, the interwebs, and listen to all the media that I can possibly listen to all the time to kind of give you the rundown on what I think about some of the things that are happening in the world. And I'd like to have a discussion at some point. At some point I'd like to have people call in or write in, email in. I can read emails from viewers, listeners, viewers. There's no viewers. I'm just sitting there looking at your phone while you're listening to this. That would be kind of fun. I think that would be kind of fun to start doing that kind of thing. So I'm going to try to find a way to do that on the show and have people email in or comment of getting some kind of interaction with the audience. I think that would be kind of fun. So we're going to start doing that. I got plans, in the works. Shouldn't take more than a couple of years to figure that out with our current technology. So I'll get my crack team of cats working on that. Apparently the cat that started his own podcast here last night. I'll get working on that. So once again, thanks for listening and thanks for being a part of the show. Just knowing that you're out there listening to me is, it's interesting that you're out there listening to me. Why are you listening to me? I don't understand. I greatly appreciate it. Continue to pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders, if you want to call them that. Pray for the people of this great nation and all that we're about. The upcoming elections and the news cycle and everything that's happening with all that stuff. Because it's really getting... they're getting desperate, folks. And like I've said, desperate people do desperate things. And I'm concerned that their desperation may be coming to a culmination here soon. So, once again, God bless. Have a great day. Have a great evening. Maybe I'll talk to you this evening. Talk to you tomorrow.